We got to the bottom of Gimlema Bays. We didn't get to Dal yet. And the Gemara had been talking about that the concept of Tosefes Shvi'is was a Lach Moshe Mi'Sinai. And then the Gemara said, is that really true? The Gemara about to ask, is it really true to Lach Moshe Mi'Sinai? Is it not learned from Sukkim? This is four lines in the bottom of Gimlema Bays. The Gemara says the first words in line, V'hani Hilchasin Inu. Is it really true that it's a Lach Moshe Mi'Sinai? The Kroninu, these things are Sukkim. The Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah Shvi'is, Becharish V'Katzer Tishbos, that's the pasuk we've been talking about, that you plow and you cut the grains, and you're supposed to rest from doing that. Even though the pasuk we said is really talking about Shabbos, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Eino Tzarech Lomar Charish V'Katzer Shal Shvi'is. You don't need to tell me the lachas that you can't cut and you can't plow during Shvi'is. Shavrei Kfar Nemar, Sadecha Lo Sizer, Chamecha Lo Sizmor. The pasuk already tells us in the beginning of Bahar that a person cannot plant his field and he can't prune his vineyards. And included in that, says Rabbi Akiva, is all other lachas as well, including Charish. So why is it mentioned by Charish Katzer Tishbos? Why does it specify these two? It's Ela Charish Shel Erev Shvi'is, She Nichnas Shvi'is. It must be talking Charisha not of Shvi'is itself, but really of Erev Shvi'is. This is the source of Tosefes Shvi'is. And V'Katzer, says Rabbi Akiva, Katzer is Shel Shvi'is She Yatzer L'Motzer Shvi'is. Talking about during the eighth year, when the seventh year is over, all the fruit and grain that have grown during the seventh year that still exist into the eighth year, that's an issur of Tosefes Shvi'is on the other end of Shemitah year. And that's what Rabbi Akiva learns from this seemingly extra pasuk here. Okay, now Rabbi Shmuel says that's not true. Rabbi Shmuel says this is actually talking about Shabbos. And I'll tell you what we learn from here. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ma Charish Rishus, Rishus Af Ktsir Rishus. Just the pasuk says Harisha, we never find anywhere in the Torah that there's a mitzvah of Harisha. Never. So every time the Harisha is always defined by a voluntary act. So just like when the Torah says you cannot do Harisha, it's referring to always a voluntary form of Harisha. So too by the word next to Harisha, Ktsira is also only a voluntary type of cutting. That's the type of Ktsira that's asur during Shabbos. However, this comes to exclude when it comes to ktsira that is attached to a mitzvah. When the ktsira is actually a mitzvah, that is actually permitted to be done on Shabbos. So what is a ktsira that's permitted to be that's a mitzvah, that's permitted to be Rashi? Rashi, two lines from the top here, says ktsir ha-omer, mutter le ktsor b'Shabbos, that's permitted to be do ktsiras omer. Shisha mitzvah, afal pisha matzah kutter, kotzer. Even though you might find some of the grains already have been cut, Ktsiras Omer takes place the night of the first night of Chol Hamoed, Pesach. So we have first day Yontif Pesach. That night after Yontif is over, they go out to the field and they cut down the Omer. And the next day, first day of Chol Hamoed, they bring the carbon Omer. So the Rashi is telling us, based on the Gemara's Menachos, that if you already found pre-cut wheat, it doesn't work. You have to actually cut the wheat. Debeinah, Rashi says, Debeinah Ktsira Lishma. You need Lishma. But if you found it already plowed, you don't have to go ahead and plow the field again. But the ktsira has to take place l'shma, the ma'is ktsira. Now, if it happens to be that Yontif Pesach, first day Yontif Pesach falls out on Friday, whereby first day Chol Hamoed is going to be Shabbos, Friday night, you would go out and cut the wheat. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel learned from this pasuk. Yes, the pasuk is talking about Shabbos, as the context tells us. I may as well read the whole pasuk here so you can see. Just don't take my word for it. That's talking about Shabbos. The pasuk says, Sheishes yomim tavod uvayom ha-shvi'i tishbos. So 6 days of work, the seventh day you keep Shabbos. B'charish v'katzer tishbos. It's talking about Shabbos. And Rishmo tells me to learn, just like harish is always rishus, and that's the type of harish that's asur Shabbos, so to a ktsir of rishus is asur Shabbos, to exclude a ktsir of mitzvah, namely ktsiras ha-omer, that's permitted to be done on Shabbos. And this has nothing to do at all with shvi'is.
What I don't understand is that the holy mood of Rabbi Akiva, we first said that the reason we don't learn Harish Bekatzer for Shabbos and we learn it for Shvi'is is because since it's already said on Shabbos, so since it's even though I regret that, is that the answer?
Right. So Rabbi Akiva thinks that we can't learn to Shabbos.
Rabbi Akiva takes double. He says, you can't learn it on Shabbos, then you learn on Shvi'is. But we already know Shvi'is, so we learn it for Erev Shvi'is and Motzei Shvi'is.
Right.
But that's already like going too far.
But again,
then you should go back to Shabbos.
No, Rabbi Akiva felt that there's nothing to learn about Shabbos. He thought that, I guess Ktsiras Omer is not a mitzvah. I don't remember what he says, but maybe Ktsiras Omer is not a mitzvah. So what's the drasha? What are you going to do with the fact that the pasuk says Ktsira and Harisha are asur on Shabbos? We know it's asur on Shabbos. All 39 lachos are
asur. And we also know that it's asur on, this is specifically on Shabbos, and you know that it's, or we already know that it's asur on Shvi'is. So you should go back and back to Shabbos. No, you shouldn't try to learn something new.
No, you're right. But Rabbi Akiva couldn't find anything that we could learn with respect to Shabbos. He was stuck. Rabbi Shmuel said to teach me Ksiris Omer is permitted on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva wasn't comfortable with that. He thought Ksiris Omer perhaps isn't a mitzvah. Again, I don't know what his shita is, but Ksiris Omer, something along those lines. So what we see from all this, though, is that in fact Tosefes Shabbos is a din deraisa. It's a pasuk. It's not a halacha mishmei Sinai.
According to
Rabbi Akiva, exactly. So, Ella, so how do we deal with it? Is it a pasuk or is it halacha mishmei Sinai? So Ella Omer of Nachman, four lines down in Dalam and Aleph. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak ki gemir halchsa the mishre yalda. So the halach Moshe Sinai is telling me to permit you to plow the yalda. Yalda are the younger trees. We said the halchsa was that esen etios. What was esen etios? An etia is a different word than an ilan. An ilan is a full grown tree, and an etia is a younger tree. So that halach Moshe Sinai told us that esen etios. If you have a 50 by 50 amma area, and there are 10 netios dispersed throughout that area, you're allowed to plow up until the last moments before Rosh Hashanah. So Allah Moshe Pesina tells me that you could plow until the last minute. What the Pesukim tell me? Ukrai lemeser zekena. And the Pesukim tell me that when it comes to the more developed trees, the zekena, the older ones, that's usher to plow during Tosefes Shviyos based on Rabbi Akiva's pasuk of Tishbos. Char Shvikatra Tishbos. Which is, that doesn't really make much sense. Once we have the halach Moshe Pesina tells me that's permitted to plow the younger trees, Lami Melech Zekena Asir, do we not deduce from that that the older trees are certainly going to be Asir to plow on Erev Shviyos? So you don't need a pasuk to tell me that it's Asir to plow the older trees. Elul Gemar says, you're right, it's actually Machlokas Amarim, Machlokas Tanayim, Hilchasa Rabbi Shmuel, Kura Rabbi Kiva. Meaning, as we said above, Rabbi Kiva learns the pasuk of Becharis Fekatsa Tishbos as the source of Tosefes Shviyos. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't learn from Pesukim, rather he learns the source of Tosefes Shviyos from a halach Moshe Sinai. That's Machlokas. Is it based on a halach Moshe Sinai according to Rabbi Shmuel, or is it based on Pesukim according to Rabbi Kiva? But they both agree on the concept of Tosefes Shviyos.
I think according to Rabbi Kiva, that's from Kri. It's only 30 days that's from Kri, right? Because then we still have to extend it from the Takana to...
Right, according to both, we don't have a Zman that's mentioned. So everyone will agree, though, the 30 days. According to Halacha Moshe Sinai, the whole concept is Halacha Moshe Sinai. The 30 days is part of Halacha. But according to Rabbi Kiva, where do we know 30 days from? So that also has to be a certain element of Mesorah, has to be attached even to Rabbi Kiva who learns it from Pesukim. Unless it's based on some agriculture that, you know, 30 days prior, somehow we know is always in terms of preparing this Shviyos year, so that's how we know the Shear of 30 days, maybe. It's also possible that 30 days, maybe the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says this, that 30 days is Kishana. So maybe that's the idea. We want to add on to a shana onto... Oh, that's what the Gemara says this, yeah. Just like when it comes to... Exactly. We add days onto months, we add months onto years. So the Chodesh adds onto a shana, so that maybe that's the source of Rabbi Akiva of a month, right? Comes along the Gemara now, says Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rabbi Gamliel Ubeistino Mediraisa Batalu. So according to this, that's based on Pesukim and based on Halacha Moshe Sinai, what gave Rabbi Gamliel and the Beis Din the right to uproot the Tosefes Shabbos? On yesterday's daf, Rabbi Gamliel said, we no longer have a concept of Tosefes Shabbos. And Gemara says, wait a second, how could he uproot the Halacha of Beis Din Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? So, oh, because Beis Shammai Beis Hillel made a Tanai. They said, anybody who wants could be Mevatel. But now we're saying this is really based on the Halacha Moshe Sinai and Pesukim. How can Rabbi Gamliel and Beis Dino be Mevatel? So Rabbi Yochanan says it must be that they found the Deraisa, they found the Pasuk, to allow them to uproot the Torah, Tosefes Shabbos. Tosefes Shviyos, right. My time, huh? What was the basis, what was the reasoning that Rabbi Gamliel, where did they find the source to be Mevatel Tosefes Shviyos Mederaisa? They said, Gamar Shabbos, Mishabbos. They learned it from Shabbos Rishis. So it says the word Shabbos by Shviyos. It says the word Shabbos by Shabbos. Malahalan hi asura lufanel lachre mutarin. Just like by Shabbos itself, beforehand and afterward, there's no Tosefes Shabbos. We'll get to that point in a second, but there is. But there's not, says the Gemara. There is no Tosefes Shabbos. It's mutter before, it's mutter after Shabbos. Afkan, so to here, by Shviyos, hi asura lufanel ulachre mutarin. So to by Shviyos, it's mutter before and mutter afterwards. So that's the source. Rabbi Gamliel found that therefore we see it's mutter. Now, I don't understand how this really works, to be honest. If the Torah tells me Tosefes Shviyos is usher, how can you find another pasuk that says Tosefes Shviyos is mutter? It's just a stir and psukim. So I'm not sure how that works exactly.
What's the But here you're talking about...
The concept is that Rabbi Akiva says, based on Pesukim, that it's Tosefes Shviyos is Asur.
30 days.
30 days.
No, but he was only Mevato the Takana of Hillel and Shama. He wasn't Mevato the first 30 days.
No, but now I think that Rabbi Yochanan is saying he's Mevato even the first 30 days. See, look at Rashi Midiraisa Butlu. It's around 8 lines down in Rashi, the narrow lines.
Yeah, right.
Midiraisa Butlu. Rashi says, "Kolomer Ashkechu Smach Min Torah Lahalchi Butlu Hilchasa." Time the Smach Min Torah to Mevato even the Hilchasa, even the Halach Mosh Mesinai. So I don't know how that works exactly, how a pasuk is going to override a halacha.
Till now, the Havamina was around Gamdil, was only Mevatol.
Yes, Shai's Daf was based on Shai Beis Hillel. Then we say, wait a second, this is not their Takana, this is a Takana that's based on the Pesukim and based on Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So even according to that, Rabbi Gamliel found such a source to be Oker, the Daraisa level of Tosefes Shviyos. Now, I'm not sure how it works, you have a Daraisa versus Daraisa, Daraisa versus Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, but all right, we'll have to accept it. Now, the Gemara told us that there's no concept of Tosefes Shviyos, Tosefes Shabbos rather. Now, this Gemara might be a source. The Rambam is famously known as saying there's no Tosefes Shabbos. The Rambam writes only one place, really two places, that there's a concept of Tosefes Shabbos. Not by Shabbos, by Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the only place of Tosefes Shabbos, based on the Gemara's in Rosh Hashanah and Yuma, that V'nisechem Nashosechem B'tisha B'chodesh, they're supposed to do Inoy on the 9th of Tishrei. Whereas, what do you mean? The fast day is the 10th, not the 9th. The Gemara tells us to tell me that there's even supposed to be a halach of Tosefes Yom Kippur on the 9th of Yom Kippur. That's one of the limudim we learn from there. So Rambam only mentions this by Yom Kippur. It doesn't mention this by Shabbos. There's a Rambam in the Pirish Mishnah, the end of Maseches Tainis, that says it also applies to Tisha B'Av. There's also a concept of Tosefes Tainis by Tisha B'Av. Those two places, that's all. But this Gemara sounds like there's no Tosefes Shabbos at all. But we know, we paskin, that there is Tosefes Shabbos. So look at Tosos, Dibur Maschil, Malahalan, he Asur Lefanea, Ulachra Mutar. I Kashi asked Tosos, Vahab Mafkinu Mikro, the Maseches Yuma, Perek Basra. We learn out from Sukkim and Yuma, that Tzarech Lasos Tosefes, Gavi Shabbos, you have to add on something on Shabbos. Bein Beknisasa, Bein Bitsiasa, in the beginning and at the end. Lo Sifa Michol Ala Kodesh, add from some of the Chol, turn it into Kodesh. So why does the Gemara completely ignore that? That small amount that we add on to Tosefes Shabbos is so minimal, so insignificant. Came to lo havi ela kol shu. It's a small amount, so therefore we don't really count it. So we learn from this Tosot, by the way, there's no exact shear of Tosefes Shabbos. It could be just a kol shu, a few moments, a second. That's all you need for Tosefes Shabbos. Just a small second is enough. But since it's so small, says Tosos, that's why the Gemara seems to have ignored it. But there is, don't get me wrong, there is still a concept of Tosefes Shabbos, says Tosos. The Rambam would have said, no, we learn from this Gemara that there is no concept of Tosefes Shabbos, only Tosefes Yom Kippur. Back to the Gemara now. Gemara asks Maskiv la Ravashi. Ravashi asks the following question. Man damar hilchasa, the one who holds hilchasa, this is Gemara's question, but I was bothered by it. Gemara says hilchasa, loch mosh mesinai, and asya gzer shava akra hilchasa. We could create a gzer shava of Shabbos Shabbos and be oker halach mosh mesinai. And further, man damar kra, Rabbi Kiva, who holds that it's learned out psukim, Tosefes Shviyos is learned out from psukim, asya gzer shava akra kra, it's going to uproot a pasuk, a mafurish pasuk we have that tells me Tosefes Shviyos. We could learn a gzer shava to uproot that pasuk. Does it make sense?
But only Rabbi Shmuel was the one. Rabbi Akiva, we never learned that Rabbi Akiva was canceled the Tosefes Shabbos.
Well, the Gemara, I guess, is learning that it's according to both. It's really according to both. Rabbi Gamliel was being mevatel according to both opinions, the concept of Tosefes Shviyos. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella, Amr of Ashi, Rabbi Gamliel, Beisdino, Savri, Leik, Rabbi Shmuel. They pass like Rabbi Shmuel. The Damer Hilchasa, Gemile. It's based on a Lachal Moshe Mitzinai. The Gemir Hilchasa, the halach Moshe Mitzinai was only bizman shebeis hamikdash kaim. It was only existed Tosefes Shviyos according to Bishmael only existed during this man hamikdash. But when it's not a beis hamikdash, bizman hazeh, there's no beis hamikdash, there is no concept anymore. That's what Rav Gamliel did. Dumya de nisach hamayim, just like nisach hamayim, but bizman hashein beis hamikdash kaim lo. So the Gemara says that just like we always group together, let's look at Tosas for a second. Tosas Dibur Maschil, Ela Amarav Ashi Rogamlio, Klamar Vadai Midiraisa Batal. It has to be on a Diraisa level that Tosefes Shviyos is Batal. It wasn't because of what we said before. El Sfir Lake Rabbi Shmuel, the Pasuk like Rabbi Shmuel, that's based on a Halachal Moshe Mitzinai. The Kadaik Rogamlio, when Leo is Medaik, Ma Shaycha Tosefes Shviyos Gavi Nisachamayim. Shinisna Moshe Gavi Hadadei. why do they list together Shvius and Nisach Maim together? Bechol Malkum Shon Hani Shlishi Biyach. These three are always listed together: Arava, Esen Tias, and Nisach Maim. The Kach Nitnu Elavade LeMelech Samchinu Rachman. It must be the fact that these three are grouped together. There's a similarity. What's the similarity? Just like Nisach Maim only exists Bezman Hamikdash, you can only pour the water in the Mizbech Bezman Hamikdash. So to Tosefes Shvius only applies during Bezman Hamikdash. But Shelo Bezman Hamikdash, there is no concept of Tosefes Shvius, and that's how we paskin. We paskin like Rabbi and Shmuel. It's based on Halach Moshe Mishinai, and even though according to Halach Moshe Mishinai and Rosh Chodesh Elul Tosefes Shvius should begin, we paskin Bezman Hazeh. It doesn't begin. Shvius does not begin until Rosh Hashanah. That's just so interesting. Tosa says the fact that these three are taught together was we learn a certain halacha, the fact of the grouping of these three. Now they say, wait a second, why does the Gemara only say, the Rishonim and Achronim ask, why does the Gemara compare this to no only Nisach Maim, that Nisach Maim doesn't, we're not Arava. Arava also, you have to circle around the Arava, around the Mizbeach, to perform the mitzvah of Arava. So the Ritva says, oh, that's because they only chose one of them. Einach Nami, they could have also chosen Arava as another example of something that only exists Bizman HaMikdash. The Ritva suggests a second answer that he says, Nisach HaMaim has no halach Bizman HaZeh at all. Arava, we at least created Midirban on the concept of Hoshanas. We go around and Sukkot seven times in Hoshana Rabbah, so that exists Bizman HaZeh. Nisach HaMaim was a better example because that doesn't exist at all Bizman HaZeh. That's what the Ritva suggests. The Rav Chaim has a little bit more of a Lamdash answer, not Lamdash answer, but more based on Kachim. The Gemara in Tzvachim tells us that if we know where the Makom of Mizbeach is, in fact you're allowed to offer certain karbanos. But the Nisach HaMaim you cannot do unless there's a Mizbeach. So again, if you know where the Makom Mizbeach is, you could shech the carbon and sprinkle, and you could, you could put the animal on the Mizbeach, you could create a fire with Makom HaMizbeach, but you can't put the blood on the Makom Mizbeach. You need a Mizbeach for that. He says the same thing, the Arava, he says, you just need to know where the Makom Mizbeach is, and in theory, there's a Chiva Arava, if you knew where it was. But Nisach HaMaim needs an actual Mizbeach Bizman HaZeh. So there's a Chiv Arava, but we just don't know where to do it, but there is no Chiv Nisach HaMaim Bizman HaZeh because there is no actual Mizbeach. That's what he explains as the difference why we chose Nisach HaMaim. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to get into some very technical halachas, things that have a lot to do with agriculture, which we're not going to know so much about. Hopefully Rabbi Arzkel will come in handy. So the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Avalomi Me'ag Shamim. Mishnah told us that when it comes to irrigating, watering the fields, that you're allowed to use the irrigation fields, but you cannot use me'ag shamim. You can't use rainwater to draw the rainwater, and you can't use mekilon. Mekilon is also drawing the water from some wells. So Gemara says, Bishma mekilon ika tircha yisair. I understand why you can't draw water from the wells, because there's a lot of tircha. And the mlacha, it's asan chalmori, is always tircha. The Gemara says all over the place, Rashi emphasizes it's all about tircha. Whenever there's tircha, that's the definition of an iser mlacha on chalmori. So drawing water from a well is a lot of tircha. Ela meg shamim, my tircha. What's the tircha by meg shamim? Meg shamim is where there's a lot of rainwater and it overflows. Then that rain, you're just pulling some of the, you're creating some ditches and allowing irrigation to pull the rainwater to where you need it to get to. What's the tircha involved in that? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the tircha is. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Gezeira meg shamim atu mekilam. You're right. There's no tircha with meg shamim itself, but if you permit us to start using the water of the rainwater, which is very high, doesn't require tircha, it might lead someone to start taking water from the wells, which is going to require tircha. Rav Ashi amar meg shamim gufay lide mekilam asu. No. Now that meg shamim is going to lead you to go to another place of a well, the rainwater itself, when you get low enough, it's going to get pretty deep as well, and that's going to cause you to have to start lowering down to do tircha on the actual rainwater as well, so that itself comes to tircha. Now that's going to lead you elsewhere to do tircha. That's a seemingly very subtle machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Ashi. So, Kamifki b'di Rabbi Elazar, they're really arguing about a Rabbi Zera rather. Rabbi Zera Amar, Dama Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabba, Bar Yirmiya Amar Shmuel. Naros hamoshchem maim nagamim. If you have rivers that are drawing water from swamps or lakes, mutu lahashkos mehen bechol shemoid. You can draw water from the rivers. So the rivers, at this point, the Gemara assumes the rivers are not going to run out of water because it's directly connected from the lake. So you can continue to draw from as much as you want. Mar islay derabi zera, mar lesa derabi zera. The one holds you cannot use the water because it's going to lead you to use from the well. So here to us, even though the rainwater is coming through constantly, the rainwater will never get lower. It's always going to be high up. The rivers will always stay high. You can't use it because it might lead you to go to a well. But the Pinyon thinks the only concern of using rainwater is that it might get lower. Well, a river that's constantly fed from the lake is never going to get lower. Therefore, you'd be permitted to use rivers that are being fed from the lake. Mar now quotes, wants to analyze the statement further. Gufa, Amar Reb Zera, Amar Rabba, Bar Yirmi, Amar Shmuel, Naros, Amoshchem, Mayim, Nagamim, Mutu, Lahashchus, Mehen, Michal, Shemar. So we just repeat it again that you're allowed, according to this opinion of Rabbi Zera, you're permitted to use river waters because it's being constantly fed by the lakes. So Esvei, Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Yirmi, and Rabbi Yirmi and Rabbi Zera were Bar Pluksas, they were Harusas, and always argue with each other. So Rabbi Yirmi, I'll actually tell you a good story. So I may have mentioned this in the past, but the Gemara in Nida, Rabbi Yirmiya asks a series of very interesting questions. All of our Shas, Rabbi Yirmiya always asks very interesting questions, very detailed questions, very mathematical questions sometimes. So Gemara in Nida, he asks questions, what's the status of a woman pig or these weird-looking creatures from humans? So he asks all these funny questions. So the Aruch Laner, I think the Aruch Laner writes on that spot, and he says, Rabbi Yirmiya was asking Rabbi Zera these questions. Rabbi Yirmiya was trying to get Rabbi Zera to like laugh a little bit. Rabbi Zera, we know from the Gemara's in Megillah, that Kam Rabba Vashachat Rabbi Zera. Rabba's trying to have a good time on Purim, trying to drink a little bit. Rabbi Zera being so serious, even in Purim, he couldn't get couldn't get him to crack a smile. So Rabba got up and killed him. He couldn't handle spending a Purim with Rabbi Zera. He was too serious. So Rabbi Yirmiya was trying the same thing. He tried asking these strange questions, maybe get him to crack a little bit, laugh and whatnot, and he wasn't able to laugh. So the Aruch Laner writes that Rabbi Zera was very makbid and leitonus. Very makbid, he was always very, very serious. So that's why oftentimes Rabbi Yirmiya always asking interesting questions. Not that this question is going to be interesting, but Rabbi Yirmiya asks Rabbi Zera the following question. Aval lo mimei gshamim, lo mimei kilom. A person, as the Mishnah tells us, you cannot draw rainwater and you cannot draw mekilon. So just like you can't use mekshamim, which at this point the Gemara thinks is constantly flowing rainwater, so to the naros you shouldn't. What's the difference of a nahar, a river, and a rainwater? It seems to be the same thing. So Amar le Yirmiya bari hani agamim, no, don't get confused. The rivers in Babel are constantly flowing. It's very different than rainwater. Rainwater, when the rain stops, eventually the rain's going to run out. So that's why the Mishnah says you can't use rainwater, because it might come to starting to draw water when it's lower down and harder to receive. But rivers in Babel are rivers all over the world, most likely, are constantly flowing and constantly full. And there's never going to be an issue of it getting low enough that's going to cause any tear. As I said, nothing really so exciting here. Unfortunately, these are very technical sugyas. Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa says, "Hapsikos vabrechos shenismalu mayim erev yamtif." A psika, type of body of water, I think. Rashi says chad milsi. A brecha is a pool of water. Psika is the same thing, just a different word. If it got filled with water from erev yamtif already, also lahashkos mehem bechol shemoid. One's not allowed to water from it on cholmoid itself. Why not? What's the svar for this? The air from Erev Yom Tov. I don't see Rashi on this. Let's see. Okay, somehow it's tirch involved.
Because the water goes, if the water finishes up in Chalumot, he might come and bring from
Okay. Nevim ha'isa amas ha'mayim overes b'neim mutter. Right, if there is a little channel connecting the water from the pool to, to where? Between the two different places. Rashi says, if there's something feeding it, there's something constantly feeding it, so to a certain extent, so then you can use that water. You're not concerned it's going to dry out. It's only with the given requirement that you're able to water most of your field from the water that's already in the initial pool. So the way I'm imagining it is there's one pool, and there's a little channel that connects it to a second pool. So if the pool that you're using from directly, if that water is enough to feed and water most of the field, then you're allowed to use that water watered on Chol Hamoed. If Ashi Amar, Afa Pishein Ruba Shal Sada Shosa, even if it doesn't, even though it's not able to fill most of the water, most of the field. Came in the Kamashka of Asya, since the second body of water is going to be refeeding it, the first body of water, person's going to say, Meimar Amar, if I can't water it all in one day, I'll water it in 2-3 days. I'm not in a rush. Okay, so over the course of the next few days, I'll end up watering all it. Who needs to water the whole field in one day? So I know it's connected to another body of water, so eventually it's going to refill itself off and be available for me to water. Tanur Baran, the Gemara quotes another brayse about a pool, a brecha shen tefes mayim misad beis hashlachim. If you have a pool that is being, there's water dripping into the pool from a sada beis hashlachim. The beis hashlachim was the irrigation fields that we permitted you to water on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah told us, I imagine Adam taught very nicely, that the first Mishnah told us that a beis hashlachim is on the side of a mountaintop, the Rashi explained to us. And the water, since it was on the mountain, the water never settled there. It passed through and just went down to the bottom, the lower valleys. So it didn't get enough water, so you're allowed to water those on Chol HaMoed. So let's say the beis hashlachim, the water passed through and eventually dripped down to a lower terrain onto a bricha on the bottom of the mountain. So the Gemara says, so again, beis hashlachim, zemutu lahashkos mimenu saw the beis hashlachim achers. So now this body of water on the bottom of the beis hashlachim, you could draw water from this pool to water another beis hashlachim. V'ha avida the piska, but how is that permitted? Isn't this pool eventually going to dry out? Because eventually the water coming from the beis hashlachim is going to dry out, and it's going to end up losing the water source for the pool. So how am I allowed to use that water? Rabbi Yirmi of Adayin Himataf Teftas. It has to be a case where the beis hashlachim, the other upper beis hashlachim, is still continuously dripping into the body of water here, and therefore we don't view it as ever stopped. Now it's going to be a slow drip and a slow filling up, but as long as there's some drip, we don't view this as something that stops, that's cut off. And Amar Bai says, furthermore, also has to be a case where the initial spring is mutter, it is still active. So we say the beis hashlachim, you're allowed to use water from that initial spring to fill the beis hashlachim. So let me explain. So you have this mountain, and on top of the mountain you have a beautiful spring. That spring is having water constantly out. You could have these irrigation channels filling the beis hashlachim on the side of the mountain. Now that beis hashlachim now, since it's on a somewhat of a slope, it's going to cause a drip lower down the mountain. Now that mountain is going to go into a body of water on the bottom. Now you want to take that pool of water and use it to water another beis hashlachim. So the conditions that need to be met to allow that is, firstly, the beis hashlachim has to continuously drip into the body of water, and the initial beis hashlachim comes, it's sourced from the higher spring above the mountain, that has to also be active as well. So assuming it's active, and the beis hashlachim is dripping constantly into the body of water on the bottom, with those being met, one can use the body of water to water another beis hashlachim. Tanya. Brisa tells us that Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Shter Rugos Zulamal Mizu. You have two patches of fields, one above the next. Lo Yald Yidla Minatachtona Vishkes Al Yona. You cannot draw water from the lower one to water the upper field. Yosa Kain, moreover, Amir Belazar Bar Shimon, Afila Aruga Achas, Chetin Namach Chetin Gavol. You have one patch that's kind of uneven, half it's on a higher terrain, half it's in a lower terrain. This too, lo yidla mi makum namoch v'yishka l'makum gvoh. You can't go from the lower terrain to water the upper terrain. The reason being, because tircha. Tircha, again, the principle that asers everything on Chol HaMoed. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes to Bryson now, that madlin l'yirakos k'dei l'ochlin. What madlin means, lashon of dli, to draw. So the Gemara at this stage thinks madlin means you could draw water to water vegetables in order to eat them on Chol HaMoed itself. Right, look at Rashi, two lines from the bottom, just to get that clear. Madlin liyirakos, he says, mashma, shu dole mayimu mashka, you draw water, and mashka liyirakos, and you water the vegetables, in order, kidei l'ochlan b'chol shemoid. So on the first day of Chol HaMoed, I could water my tomatoes, my cucumbers, and peppers, in order to eat them a couple days later on Chol HaMoed itself. But in b'shul liyofson, if I'm doing it simply to make it nice and to grow, and I don't have intention on eating them on Chol HaMoed, but I want them to grow a few more weeks afterwards, that's aser. The reason why that's aser is Rashi tells us because that's harvacha. Harvacha is, some of the heterim on Chol HaMoed, there are around 5 heterim for doing work on Chol HaMoed. Even though it's tircha, you could do it if it's for hefsid mamon, if it's a davar aved, or if it's letzarach moed, letzarach rabim, if it's a maisa hedyo, these different types of things. So if I want to make it look nicer, that's not a davar aved, that's a harvacha, it's just making it better, it's not preventing any damage. That's why it would be aser. It's only mutter if you're going to eat it letzarach moed.
Talking
about it's still before the karka, meaning that... Correct, right. Exactly. Ravina Varaba Tosafa, that was his name. These two, Amaraim, have a Ka'azli Borcha. They're once walking along the way. Chadulahu gavra davidol davla b'chol demorid. They saw a person who was drawing water in chol morid, watering his vegetables. Amle Rabba Tosfa l'Ravina. So Rabba looks to Ravina, says lisa ma l'shmaisa. We should put this guy in chayrim. He's violating the chachamim's din of not doing mlacha, not watering the vegetables. Why is he watering? Amle, he says, relax, take it easy. Hatani madlin l'rakos k'zei l'ochon. He says, person's allowed to water the vegetables to eat. So maybe he's watering the vegetables so he can eat it in chol morid. Why are you jumping to conclusions here? Amale, misfars my madlin madlin maya. Wait, who said madlin means watering? It doesn't mean watering. My madlin. Madlin means shalufe. Rashi explains top line of Dalam Rebbe's. Shalufe is kishayirokos ritzufin, when the vegetables are lined one next to the next. Note the mehem, time. You can remove the vegetables, the carrots are in between. The two cluster together. Lachlan mutter. You can remove those that were in between to eat it. But in order to remove them to help the other ones that remain to grow better, that's aser. To pick a carrot out to eat the carrot, that's okay. But to pick out the carrots to make the other carrots that are in the ground to be better, that's what's aser. As the Mishnah says, the Mishnah tells us in Peah, hey, meidil b'gefanim, g'shem shehu meidil b'shelo, kachu meidil b'shanim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rashi explains, meidil, tolish b'gefanim, you take out the grapes, so grape vines, it's too overgrown. You want to pull it out to make it grow better. The other ones out there grow better. You could do this for your own grapes, to remove it, to make it grow better. And you're also allowed to do it for the animes. What's the animes? Rashi says, b'shanim is b'peah. As we know, the peah is that you leave over after you cut your vineyards, you cut your grains, you leave a corner over for the anim. That's theirs. So are you allowed to do that for the peah that's reserved for the anim? Rabbi Yehuda says you could also do it for theirs because you're benefiting the anim. By you removing some of these vines that are overgrown, you're helping theirs. But then, Rabbi Meir says in the Gemara, quoted it in the Mishnah, b'shalo rashai ein rashai b'shal anim. You're allowed to do your own, but you can't do the anim. You can't do those that are found in the peah.
So what's the halacha here that medallion is actually to wash or to
pick? Because the lashon medallion literally means to draw. So we thought, try to draw water. There are two different words, draw water or draw vegetables, either one. So again, so what's going on in the story here? The story is, he wanted to put them in Secherim for watering the vegetables. The Gemara says, we're allowed to water vegetables for purpose of eating them. He said, no. The Mishnah Medallin, the Brice about Medallin, Madlin, Yerakos, that means you could pull vegetables out to eat them, but never do we say you could water vegetables. So how is it allowed to water vegetables? So only thing that's allowed to be doing is to draw vegetables to eat them and not to water the vegetables. We should put the guy in Techerim. And the Gemara finally says, Amrlei b'hatanim madlin mayim lirakos k'dei l'ochlan. Wait a second, the Brice says, madlin mayim. It's referring to drawing water, not drawing vegetables. So what he was doing was permitted to be done. He was drawing the vegetables in order to eat the vegetables in the Chol Moed. The Gemara says, Amrlei tani tani. Okay, if it's a Brice, it's a Brice. Well, I can argue in a Brice. It's a Brice. So therefore, we see that it means watering vegetables is permitted to be done on Chol Moed as long as you plan to eat them on Chol Moed itself.
Rabbi Tosfa was a
really?
Because Ravina Ravashi wrote the last of the Amora, and he came the next generation after Ravina. It's quoted in Bracha Sosa. It's only quoted in a couple of places.
But Rabbi Tosfa is talking to Ravina here. Hey, Rashi says that in Brachos?
I don't remember where I saw it, but he's the next generation after Ravina.
Let's see.
He's talking to him in a deferential tone, you know. He's saying to him, why didn't you put him in the chair? Why didn't you make him younger than him?
And it says here, quoting the Rashban of Yasam, that Rabbi Tosfa had the name Tosfa because he was a Baki in Tosefta's. Just that. I don't see any mention about what you're saying. It could be true. Let me know if you find that at the source. That'd be interesting to know. Okay.
Well, definitely put him in Brachos.
Come up a few places, he does. Okay, the Gemara now says, quotes from the Mishnah, that Ein Osen Ugios Lefanim. One of the things you may not do on Chol Moed is to make Ugayos. What's Ugayos? Literally means circle. So, my Ugayos, Amar Rav Yehuda Banki. Okay, Banki, anyone know what Banki means? Rashi tells us the four lines from the top. Banki is Boros Tachas Lefanim, to make some pits below the grapes. The zaysim below the olives, venosin behemayim, you place some water in them. So I guess somehow they make by making the ground moist and putting corn into the ground, that's beneficial for the grapes and the olives. That is asr to do. Tani Nami Hachi, the Brisa says the same thing, that Eloheinu Ugayo. So the following is an example of an Ugayo. Bedidan should be kari zesim, should be kari gafanim. So Rashi tells us Ugayos is Ugal, Agul, Saviv, a circle. Kimo Ag Ugav Amunat Besocha, it's talking about Choni Magel, Martinus, where he made a circle and stood within the circle and said, Hashem, you better make it rain, or I'm not leaving the circle. And then Rashi says, Bedidan is Namihin Gumos, the holes. So you make some holes in the bottom, you fill it with water. That's what Ugayos are. That's what the Bryce explains. Ain't is that really true? V'har Rav Yehuda sharu l'vnei b'nei tzar salim eved banki l'karmarim. But didn't Rav Yehuda permit the people of Tzisar, Bar Tzisi, to make these types of holes below the grapes? L'kashe ha b'chadasi ha b'diki. There's a difference. When it comes to the new ones, that's aser chadasi, the new ones, that's aser. To make old ones that already existed, to just redig them, that would be a case where it's permitted. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Omer, ein osin es ha'ama. A person may not make a new channel of water on Chol Moed. So Bishmad Moed Bishum de Katarch. I understand why Chol Moed is asked to do this, because by digging a new channel, the dirt's very hard and solid, it's going to be an issue of Tircha. Ela b'shvius my taima. Why is it asked to do on Shvius, though? Shvius is not about Tircha. Shvius is about an avoda. It's not really a avoda's karka. Yes, we'll see what the reason is, but it's not an issue of Tircha when it comes to Shvius. So, Pligi bar Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Abba bar Mamo. These are Maram had a machlokus. What the reason why it was Asr and Shvius? Chadamar b'pnei shenirka Oder. It appears like Oder. What's Oder? Rashi says, b'pnei shenirka Oder. The tzarech Shvius, sharei chofer k'Oder. Looks like you're preparing, you're digging to the preparation of Shvius. When in fact, you're really not. You're preparing to build, have water channels. You're not preparing to work the land. It looks like you are preparing the land for planting. And Chadamar b'pnei shemachshu agafa l'dzraya. You're preparing the land, the ground, the dirt on top. What happens is you dig the holes, a ditch, and you put the soft dough on top now, on the outside. And that soft dough is ready for seed. It's so soft, now you're ready to put seeds in it. See, it looks like you're digging, or it looks like you're preparing ground for planting. That's the machlok. It seems very subtle. Gemara is going to bring some nafkaminas. My nafkamina, what's the difference between the opinions? Either you're making a hole, or you're softening the ground. It seems to be pretty similar. You can benai with the ka'asim maya basrei. If, let's say, as you're digging, and the water's rushing right behind, so there's, a pool of water, and you're digging the ditch, and the water travels and follows the ditch as you're making. So, according to that, the Gemara says, if it's the man damer b'nei shemachshe ag for the zri, the wa'ika, the one who thinks that you're softening ground, well, the dirt that's now found on top of the ditch, above the ditch, on the side, that's now prepared and soft, ready for planting, it's going to be aser still. But man damer b'nei shenirka oder leka, but the one who thinks it looks like you're making older, you're making a ditch around the tree, that's not true, because the fact that it gets filled up with water right away, it's not going to give the appearance of doing this concept of Oder. Wait a second. One who thinks it looks like you're doing Oder, digging a ditch, well, shouldn't he also be concerned about the soft dirt that now appears on top of the ditch on the outside, that's also preparing the ground for planting? So that should be Asr for another reason. Okay, they're both very good reasons. They should both be Asr. They're not mutually exclusive. Ella, you can deny the nafkamin is as follows. The kashakamine vishadi liberei. When you take the dirt out, you don't put it right next to it. You throw it outside, you throw it to the garbage, where the dirt is not usable anymore. So you're no longer preparing any dirt for planting. So Gemara says, L'man damar mipnei shemachshir ag filizri. The one who thinks you're preparing the ground for softening up for planting, leka, is no concern because that dirt's being thrown in the garbage. It's not around. L'man damar mipnei shenirka oder ika. The one who thinks that making a ditch looks like oder, well, the ditch is still there, and it's going to be aser. Or says, wait a second. L'man damar mipnei shemachshir ag filizri. The one who thinks it's about softening the dirt for planting, likhash mipnei shenirka oder. Shouldn't he also be concerned that the ditch that's being formed, that's a concern that it looks like oder? Or it says no, because classically, Oder Nami ki kashake buduchle marichle. When Oder is normally done is, you take the dirt and you place it on the outside of the ditch. And that's what Oder is. But this guy who's taking the dirt and throwing it in the garbage somewhere, and you don't leave the mound of dirt on the outside of the ditch, that does not give the appearance of Oder, because that's not the way it was typically done. So therefore, that would be a situation where one opinion would say it's also the opinion would think it's mutter. So Gemara says now, Memer masni la mipnei shenirka Oder. He thought the reason was because you can't make a ditch of these channels because it looks like Oder. The kasha led Elazar ben Azariah, the Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Now he has a kasha Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and another Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Mishnah says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said to us to make a ditch. And the reason why it's us to make a ditch according to a Maimar is because it looks like Odir. Now he's going to bring another statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which is going to contradict this. Umi Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah kol shenir k'odir asr. Anything that gives the appearance of Odir building these ditches is really asr. Urmini, the Gemara tells us, quotes from a Mishnah Shvius. Oser Adam es Zavlo, Oser. Person can make the fertilizer into a storage. He could store away the Zevel. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, sorry, Rabbi Meir Omer, Oser, he says it's forbidden. You cannot make a pile of Zevel in your yard. Ad Shiyamik Shel Shetvachim, until you dig a ditch 3 tvachim deep, where it doesn't look like you're putting on top of your ground. It looks like it's separate from the ground. Anything more than 3 tvachim is viewed as an independent rishus. Oh, ad Shiyagbia Gimel Tvachim, or make a mound of dirt of 3 tvachim high and place a Zevel on top of the mound. It does not appear like you're being Mezavel the karka. Let's say before Shavuos, he already had a mound of Zevel. He started creating a little Zevel in the backyard. Then it's Mutter, then he could be most of Allah. He could add on to the already existed. But if it never existed, but before Shavuos, he didn't have this mound of Zevel, he has to either dig deep 3 tvachim or build a mound of dirt 3 tvachim, and only on top of that could he place on Zevel. Comes along Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the mission, says, O sir, ad shiyamik shlosha, o ad shiyagbiya shlosha, o ad shiyitin ala sela. It's aser, even if you have begun from beforehand, it's aser until you dig 3 tvachim deep, or build something 3 tvachim high, or place a zevel on top of a rock, where it's clearly not going to be helping the ground at all. And then Rabbi Zeir, so what exactly is the machlokas here? So why is this a stira?
Even if there was a little bit, it's still aser.
Right. So, but you see, Rabbi Elazar allows you to dig 3 tvachim deep on Shavuos itself. Didn't he say before you can't dig a ditch? Here he says you can dig a ditch in order to allow you to place a zevel deep in the ground. So Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Abba, Bar Mamal had a machlokas. Chad Amar Kigon Shehemik. It was only where it was already deep. There already existed a ditch, a hole from before Shavuos. In such a case, you can place a zevel there. But whoever said you could actually build a ditch during Shavuos, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would say you can build a ditch like he said above. You can't build an amma. And Chad Amar one explained, Zivlo Mochiach Lav. No, the other opinion thinks you could dig it. Once you place a Zevel in there, it's going to obviously show that it's not done for Odir. Exactly. Then the Gemara says, Masakin es Mekukolas b'moed. So the Mishnah told us you could fix things that got destroyed during Chol Moed. What exactly got destroyed during Chol Moed? The Gemara explains, my Mekukolas. I'm Rabbi Abba, b'she'im ha'isa amuka tefach. So this is talking about if the amma, the irrigation channel, had got destroyed, you could fix it. So what does it mean? So Rabbi Abba Amar, she'im ha'isa amuka tefach, mamida al shisha tefachim. So let's say it was a tefach deep, you could raise it a 6 tefachim deep. Okay, you could dig deeper to 6 tefachim. You could take from 1 tefach to 6. That's what you could dig 5. You could dig 5 tvachim deeper. Pshita chati tevach al shlosh tvachim. It pashit to the Gemara that if it's only half a tevach before Chol Moed, then to add it to 3 tvachim, kaven de lo avin maya lo klumhu. Since it's really useless, 3 tvachim is so small, it's not going to allow enough water. It's going to be pashit. Even though it's the same ratio, a half to 3 is the same as 1 to 6. Same ratio, still it's not allowed. But since 3 tvachim is not going to accomplish so much, it's unnecessary work. Oh, what about, Tvachaim al Shemasar. Let's say it was initially 2 tvachim deep, and you want to add to make it 12 total, which is the same ratio of 2 to 12 as 1 to 6. That is the Katarch Tircha Yisera. That's an extra Tircha going to another 10 tvachim deep. That's La Tircha. That also is going to be Aser. Lo, that's Aser. What about Tvachaim al Shiva? Let's say it's 2 tvachim deep. You're going down 5. So it's not quite the same ratio anymore, but the same amount of 5 tvachim. Just like 1 to 6 is adding 5 tvachim, 2 to 7 is adding 5 tvachim. So is that going to be permitted? Both cases, 1 to 6 is 5 tvachim, 2 to 7 is adding 5 tvachim, that would be mutter. Since you're digging a tevach deeper, which will either mean the dirt is harder as you go lower, or you're bending down further. Was Rashi say any of those? Rashi is right, you're bending down more, it's harder to bend down further. Maybe that's going to be aser from 2 to 7. Take it, the Gemara doesn't have an answer, that's a take. Abaye says the Gemara, Shavu Levnei Bar Hamdach Lishchufei Nahara. Abaye permitted the people of the city of Hadach Lishchufei Nahara. What does Shchufei Nahara mean? Rashi says, the two lines from the bottom, Lakor Anfei Ilanos Hagdolim Benar, to remove any of the branches that grew in the river. I guess it was stopping the passage of water. He permitted them to remove it to allow better water to pass through. Rabbi Yirmiya Sharvel Hu Levnei Sehusa, he permitted the people of this city, Lemichra Nara Tmima. Rashi's last line tells us, Lemimrachra Nara Tmima, Lefanos Mekor Hamayin Shenistam. If a spring had closed up, he permitted them to reopen the spring on Chol Hamoed. Rav Ashi, Shara Lahu Levnei Masa Machsa, this city mentioned oftentimes in Shas, Lakduche Nar Brunet, he permitted them to, Rashi explains, Lakduche Nara, Lefanos Shirton Shivemsa Nar, to remove what's Shirton? Remove something that's blocking the passage. Is there a definition of Shirton here? Like the river, the opening of the river where it begins, you could widen that mouth where the river begins from to have more water pass through. Okay, that's Rashi Ksav Yad says. Apparently, I have that inside of my Gemara. Okay, and then the Gemara says, Amar Kaven Deshasim Minei Rabim Krabim Dami. He says, V'tanan Osin Kotzorcha Rabim. And they explain the svar for all these different things is since the river was the source of water for the rabbim, and the Mishnah tells us anything that's for tzarcha rabbim is permitted. They permitted all these different actions to widen the gap, to widen the river. It's very different than the halachas before, where he spoke about these little water channels in people's yards and farms. That was for the individuals. But when it came to the rivers with tzarcha rabbim, all these types of things were permitted. Okay, we'll stop a bit early today. Let's do the chazar.
It says sandbank.
Sandbank. Okay, they're in
sand
the way.
Bank of a river.
Okay, so that's permitted. You can remove those to allow for a better passage of water. So as a quick review, the Gemara, we learned in the beginning, the bottom of Gilmo Bay is the concept of Tosefes Shvius. We ended up saying it's Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva felt that it's based on Psukim. We learned the concept of Tosefes Shvius. Rabbi Shmuel says based on Halach Moshe Sinai. The Gemara attempted to say that, wait a second, how could Gzeir Shava uproot a concept of Tosefes Shvius that's in the Torah? The Gemara says, you're right. According to Rabbi Kiva, who felt it's based on Psukim, even Bizman Hazeh, and there's no base of Mikdash, there's still a concept of Tosef Shvius according to Rabbi Kiva, who learns it on Psukim. Rabbi Shmuel, who learns it based on Lachmash of Sinai, the concept is just like Nisach HaMayim, which is always grouped together with Esther and Tios, just like Nisach HaMayim only exists Bizman HaMikdash, so too Tosef Shvius only exists Bizman HaMikdash. Bizman HaZeh, where there's no base of Mikdash, there is no concept anymore of Tosef Shvius, and that's how we pass it. Then the Gemara went through a number of technical discussions about water. They discussed that it's usher to draw water from a river, that a puddle of water that was filled up by the rain, rather. It's usher either because it's going to lead you to start drawing water from a well, or the river itself, the water itself, the rainwater itself, will lead to an actual well by getting lower and lower. Exactly the basis of that was. We said the river that's being constantly fed from a lake is going to be also subject to machlokas, because since it's constantly fed, it's never going to run out. That was the discussion. I think we're going to have
This is all
Chol Hamoed right now. This point is Chol Hamoed. We only transition to Shvius later on the Amud Beis.
That's about Shvius. Very confusing.
There's a lot of overlap of Chol Hamoed and Shvius. There's a lot of connections between the two of them. The other thing we're going to quote about these different situations where the different pools of water, that one pool of water is connected to another pool of water, it's constantly feeding it, so you're allowed to do it as long as the constant feed is. Or what a situation where the spring is dripping into a Beis Shlachim, Beis Shlachim dripping into a pool, and the pool for another Beis Shlachim. As long as there's some constant flow, all these situations are permitted. Then we have Lach of the Madlin, a person who's able to draw water and water the vegetables, as long as he plans on eating the vegetables in Chol Hamoed itself. We have the story of the Rabban, Ravina, Rabba Tosafa, they saw a person doing this in Chol Hamoed. They wanted to put him to Chayim, they realized it was okay what he was doing, he could water vegetables, as long as you plan to eat them on Chol Hamoed itself. Then the Gemara had a situation about, as a side point, they mentioned this mission in Peah, whether a person's allowed to do madle. Could he pull out extra overgrown vines to allow for the existing vines to grow? So that's machlokas, whether you could do that for the Peah as well or only for the person himself. We We define what ugayos were. Mishnah said ugayos were usur. Ugayos were these little ditches around the olives and the grapes that were permitted to be filled with water. That was something that can be done. Sorry, cannot be done on Chol HaMoed. Exactly. An old one can be, a new one cannot be done. Then Rabbi Elazar had mentioned in the Mishnah that one cannot build new channels of water in his farm, in his yard. Machlokas, what the reason was, because it either appeared like drawing a dish, or because it prepared the soft dirt that was now on top. Went back and forth, in the end of the day, what the reason was, a number of nafkaminas, back and forth.
These were back to Shviz now.
This is back to, this is Chol HaMoed still, I think.
Still Chol HaMoed,
yes. Then we had a steer with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He said, wait a second, he did not permit you to build a ditch, a water channel, but he did permit you to dig a ditch when it came to the Zevel, to have a place to place your fertilizer. So the Gemara said, either because the ditch already existed before Shviz, only then could you place the Zevel inside, or even if you could...
We're back to Shviz.
Back to, this is back to... I thought this is Chol HaMoed.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought this is Chol HaMoed still.
To me, it's very confusing how they...
Maybe this is Shviz. Maybe you're right. This is Shviz, it looks like. You're right. This is Shviz. Yeah.
I don't understand how... Yeah, it's going to be Shviz.
Yeah, you're right. Well, this really goes back to both, actually. This line of Blas and the Mishnah...
I think that the whole thing about the channels is also Shviz.
The mission says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, "Ein osin es ama b'tchila b'moed uvashvius." It applies to both. Our question we asked, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, was based on the Gemara in Shvius, the mission Shvius, that he permitted you to dig for the Zevel, and the Gemara said, no, it's either where the ditch existed before Shvius, or it's a case where you dug during Shvius, but since you put Zevel, it was clear you weren't doing it for other purposes, you were doing it for Zevel purposes. And then the Gemara talked about fixing a channel that the dirt got in the way. You'll have to dig it from 1 to 6 tefachim, and there's machlokas whether or not you could do from 2 to 7. That was a teku. And then the Gemara finally said that all these different examples by river, since the river is sarachvavim, they all permitted you to do different things to allow the water pass by quicker. Okay.
Sure.